A spy at a recent United Nations-sponsored conference reveals a secret agenda to control the world. Next, on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with Gary Kaw. Gary was a specialist on Middle East and European nations with the state of Indiana. He visited more than 20 countries. He spent 10,000 hours researching what the Bible predicts will happen in the future. And the Bible predicts that there will be a move, if you will, to unify the world. I mean, one world government, one world economic system, one world army, one world religion. And I know that this sounds, you know, kind of weird and conspiracy, but there are some amazing things that you're going to find out that the predictions written thousands of years ago in the Bible about the last days and the system of the government of the last days is happening before our very eyes. Gary, when you were just in the sixth grade, just a young child, you made a vow to God. Tell me about that.
Yes, I did. I remember sitting in my classroom in Kettering, Ohio, and our teacher that year was teaching us history for the first time and was telling us about what happened during World War II. And also, because of my parents, they came from Europe, and my father fled from both the Nazis and the communists and lost everything he had. And I was right at that age where all of this was sinking in. And I remember sitting in my classroom praying silently to God, Lord, if anything like this were to ever happen here in the United States, I promise to you I will do everything I can to take a stand and to make a difference regardless of the cost. And years later, of course, working for the government as the Europe and Middle East trade specialist, I traveled a lot overseas, worked with our foreign embassies very closely for usually several days at a time in the area of international trade. And from some of these people began hearing talk about this move toward a global government through an empowered United Nations that someday would become a type of world government. At least that's how many of these people saw it. And I asked a lot of seemingly naive questions. I wanted to find out where they were coming from and where all of this was going. And one thing led to another. And then finally I felt, you know, Lord, are you taking me up on that promise I made back in sixth grade? Am I supposed to do something with this information? And if so, where do I begin? And the doors began opening up within a few weeks, literally, as I was asked.
You found out something about the monies of the world. Explain that.
Well, in February of 1984, I was invited to tour a company in Indianapolis, my hometown, that was to receive the contract from the U.S. Treasury Department to build the new printing presses that would be printing the new U.S. currency. And they already had a prototype machine built at that time. And so I asked the gentleman there a lot of questions regarding this new currency, what it was to look like, the purpose behind it. And to make a long story short, I discovered that new currencies were coming out all around the world. They had very similar features. It would make the tracking of the currencies possible and eventually result in a single global currency system. So this was just the next step before we have a completely unified system. But as I said, this was back in 1984. And in the mid-1990s is when the new currency actually began coming out in the United States. So this was in the making for many years before it actually happened.
So what it appears to me, Gary, is you made this vow as a child. God took you up on it. And supernaturally, if you will, you began to see the machinery to set up this one world currency before it was public knowledge.
Correct. And not just the currency, but the whole move toward global government from a political standpoint, and also seeing a lot of the beginnings, at least, the seeds of this attempt to bring all the world's religions together into a type of unification or even one world religion.
Now, some might say it would be a wonderful thing to unify all of the religions. Let's face it, most wars have occurred for religious reasons.
Yes, on the surface it sounds good, but when you look at the people that are at the forefront of promoting this agenda, generally speaking, many of them are very anti-Semitic, anti-Christian, and involved in the occult. That's the part that we are not really being told publicly. So a good face is being put on this for public consumption, but when you begin to research it and look who is pushing this agenda and specifically how they want to accomplish it, it would bring in a very dark era, I believe.
Well, you started attending United Nations or United Nations-sponsored events or having friends attend them. What did you find out?
Well, mainly through friends that have attended these meetings, we've learned that there is a very strong political agenda at work, and that it is to a large degree being spiritually motivated. Again, that's the part that doesn't seem to come through the mass media.
What do you mean by spiritually motivated?
Well, at the recent UN Millennium Forum that a friend attended, and we'll be talking to him shortly here, many of the organizations that were represented there represent religious groups. For example, the Baha'i International Community, a lot of...
They're doing a lot of work in Israel. I couldn't believe it. They built a beautiful temple. They bought the road going going directly to the water because they believe their Messiah is going to come out of the sea and walk up that road. Yeah. So they bought it from the town in Israel.
Yes. The Baha'is are involved in this. There were a number of Roman Catholic organizations that were directly participating in the United Nations Millennium Forum. In fact, the registration process was overseen by Franciscans International. Also, at that meeting was Lucis Trust. Now, here's something very interesting, and we can document this, and I've done so in my book. Lucis Trust was originally founded under the name Lucifer Publishing Company.
Now, Lucifer is the name for the devil.
Another name for Satan in the Bible, correct. It was founded under that name, and then 2 years later, its name was changed to Lucis Trust. This was back in the 1920s. And this organization still exists today. And at this UN event, they were passing out copies of a prayer called the Great Invocation. Now, this is an occult prayer, which they believe if they can get enough people in the world...
But this is the United Nations.
This is the United Nations.
I mean, even in the United States, they don't want prayer in the schools. And they're having a prayer, and it's sort of like an ESP, New Age type prayer.
Exactly. The whole purpose of the prayer, they believe if they can get enough people reciting this, that it will speed up the coming of the Christ. And who they mean by the Christ is different than who I mean by the Christ. They are actually talking here about the Antichrist, a coming global ruler. It's a very occult organization, but they are very
Jerry,
well accepted
hold,
in UN circles.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back after the break, and we're going to talk to an individual that actually was at this UN-sponsored meeting that was a spy that found out things that were not reported in the press and in the media that'll shock you. We'll be back right after this word. YouTube, Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm finding the most fascinating things out. I have Gary Caw here, and Gary has explained to me there have been five recent United Nations meetings, very little coverage worldwide about the true agenda of these meetings. And we're going to be talking to an individual that was a spy at one of the most significant of these meetings that found out exactly what the agenda was. His name will be changed. His voice will be distorted. Gary, why is his name going to be changed? Why is his voice going to be distorted?
Well, so that those people who were at the meeting who are pushing this agenda will not realize who this person is, because he would like to be able to continue to attend meetings like this to be able to gather this information. And I thank God that he's been able to share this with us so that we can get this information out to people.
But why do we have to get this information out? Why do you have to get it out? Why isn't it in the press?
Well, that's a good question, and I would simply say that most of the people in the major press and media support this agenda and even belong to organizations that are directly tied into the United Nations or are supportive of it. So it would not make sense for them to want to expose something negative regarding the United Nations when they are actually part of that flow.
Okay, who was at this particular meeting? What people groups?
I already mentioned a few of them, the Baha'i International, Lucis Trust, but the main organizations that had the most power, the World Federalist Movement was very significant in this. Also Kofi Annan, he gave the keynote address, the opening keynote address. A special statement was read from Mikhail Gorbachev, who strongly supported this event and was tied into it. Stephen Rockefeller, who is tied into the Earth Council, the Earth Charter Committee, was there as well. And a lot of very prominent people.
Help me out. What's the Earth Charter?
The Earth Charter, we have a final copy, or a copy of the final draft of the Earth Charter right mm-hmm. here with us. This is something that Mikhail Gorbachev has been traveling around the world promoting, and he would like to see this become the main global governing document of the United Nations under a one-world government. He would like to see the United Nations empowered to the point where it becomes a type of world government and where the Earth Charter is their main governing doctrine, so to speak.
Now this is big stuff. We're talking about one group of people controlling the world. This
yes.
is big.
This is definitely something worthy of being covered by all the major networks, and yet we have not been told about any of it.
All right, Gary, well, we have Jamie, and his voice is disguised electronically. There was a spy at this recent United Nations meeting. Jamie, kind of bottom line, tell me what you observe with your own eyes and your own ears at this meeting.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to come on. What I observed was probably one of the most significant things were the discussions, closed-door meeting discussions on creating independent United Nations funding through world taxation. That was very...
Excuse me. I mean, here in the United States, we have enough taxes. Are you saying there's going to be a tax on the world by the United Nations?
That's one of the proposals that has been circulated. The idea is to tax international currency transactions. There are trillions of dollars going between borders, and to put a tax on that. With that money, they'd be able to fund things such as the United Nations-controlled military force, which was also discussed, and the concept of setting up a world parliament, so to speak, that would work alongside the United Nations and to give it more teeth.
Oh, you talk about a United Nations military. Would this replace the militaries of the various countries of the world?
At this point, it wouldn't. Understand, we already do have a form of UN military empowerment. A couple of years ago, this is something that has not made the news. The United Nations set up what is, in essence, a global SWAT force. The acronym for it is called SHIRBRIG, S-H-I-R-B-R-I-G. It stands for Standing Forces High Readiness Brigade, which is a 5,000-man unit right now located at in Denmark and is under the command and control of the United Nations. And this is something that is on the record. I mean, you can actually get this information if you pursue it through UN channels.
Now, the Bible talks about all of this happening just before the world goes into a very chaotic state. In your opinion, is this the forerunner or actually it of this one world government and one world religion and one world army and one world economic system?
The whole idea of a one world system, a new world civilization, has been in the mindsets of men for 100 years and more. What we're seeing right now, and this is my personal belief, is that these events that are taking place specifically in the year 2000, are watershed moments in time. in the sense that we will look back 3, 5, 8 years down the road, and we will be able to look at this time period and say the year 2000 was a pivotal moment for globalization. And I firmly believe that we are already in a system of globalization. We just simply haven't awakened up to it yet.
Okay. If you had to say one thing that you observed that was not made or circulated worldwide that you want our viewers to know, what would that be?
They hate Christians.
They hate Christians?
Absolutely.
Why pick on one religion?
Because we're intolerant.
Because Christians are intolerant?
We're considered bigots in their eyes. We're considered intolerant. I've been to numerous world government meetings where Christians, fundamental Christians, are described as either the main enemy or a fundamentalist threat. They view Christians and our potential influence within such institutions as Congress as being a very serious issue they need to overcome. We are a hurdle for them, but they are jumping over us. They are trampling us.
And Gary, I have to ask you a question. The Pope is involved. Lots of people that are known Christians are involved with these things. What do you mean they hate Christians?
Well, I'll tell you, when I began speaking out on this, it cost me my job. I worked for the government, and they issued me an ultimatum to stop talking about it or else lose my job. And as Jamie has shared at his meetings, and other people have said the same thing to me, that in these circles, they see Christians as being the main obstacle to this global government, because they will not merge together with all of the world's religions into a type of unified one world religious system, because Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the only way because of what he did on the cross. And because Bible believing Christians insist on that very fact, they are viewed as being a fly in the ointment. They have to be dealt with somehow.
Hold that thought, because we're going to find out something that I personally had difficulty believing until I saw it with my own eyes about this one world religion that is evolving. We'll be right back after this word. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with Gary Caw. And Gary is about ready to explain something I've seen with my eyes, I have great difficulty with, but it seems as though what is predicted in the Bible is happening before our very eyes. The reason I have difficulty with this is I never, my wildest imagination, thought I would see what I saw. But you'll find out about this in a moment. Now Gary, you had a quote from Mikhail Gorbachev in reference to the Pope. I wonder if you'd read that.
Yes, and what I want to share briefly is that in our research and in attending some of these meetings, there are many key players involved in this. But what came as a shock to us was that the two most prominent figures have been Mikhail Gorbachev and Pope John Paul II. And I realize that would come as a surprise to some people, but I have a quote here from Mikhail Gorbachev regarding his relationship with the current Pope, and this came from the Denver Post, 1992. Gorbachev says, "I have carried on an intensive correspondence with Pope John Paul II since we met at the Vatican in December 1989, and I need to add in, at that time, he actually bowed at the Pope's feet and in essence brought himself under his authority. And he has also stated that Pope John Paul II is the world's highest moral authority." So now let me go back to the quote from Mikhail Gorbachev. He says, "The sense of mutual affection and understanding which resulted from our meeting is to be found in each of our letters. I cannot help but say that we share a desire to move forward and complete what we began together. When I was with him, I realized that the Pope had also played a role in what we came to call the new political thinking. What I have always held in high esteem about the Pope's thinking and ideas is their spiritual content, their striving to foster the development of a new world civilization. And finally, it can be said that everything which took place in Eastern Europe in recent years would have been impossible without the Pope's efforts and the enormous role, including the political role, which he played in the world arena." And there are more statements like that from Gorbachev.
Okay, so those two are tied together.
They're tied together, and he sees the Pope as being his closest ally in building the new world civilization, is what I'm trying to share here. This is Mikhail Gorbachev.
This is what is called the Earth Charter, which is like a constitution for a one world government and one world economic system and one world army and one world political system. But what was intriguing to me is the video footage and the statements you found that the current Pope stated.
Going back to 1986, he called for the first public interfaith meeting in Assisi, Italy in 1986, and we have some video footage from that meeting, which is quite amazing. Over 200 religious leaders from around the world were there, including the Dalai Lama, the symbolic leader of Buddhism. And this Pope has actively been pursuing the unification of all the world's religions around Rome. These people are traveling to Rome for these meetings. There have been a number of meetings like this now. And so you put this together with what Gorbachev is doing on the political front through the United Nations, and you have a partnership, a type of coming together of the countries of the world through the UN and the religions of the world through the Vatican, and there is an alliance that has been forged there. And this has simply not been shared through the mass media.
Tell me some of the statements that you have observed that the current Pope has made.
Well, the current Pope has made all kinds of statements regarding the power of the Vatican and how some people may be uncomfortable with this, that there is an agenda there. And I can't recite these entire quotes, but I have them documented in my book, The New World Religion. This Pope has made statements regarding interfaithism. He is quoted on this video as making the statement that the Holy Spirit lives in all people, whether they are Christian or not. Now, that runs contrary to what came out from the Vatican recently, where it was stated basically that Catholicism is the only way to truth. So apparently, they believe one thing privately, but are saying another thing publicly to woo the world's religions.
In other words, they're basically saying all roads lead
to Rome. You're right, yes. That's what
There were some other things that you saw the Pope do. You saw him bow down?
I did not see the Pope bow down, but on the video, he meets with Buddhist leaders and actually bows before a Buddhist figure. He also goes through Hindu occult rituals.
So you saw this on a...
This is on the video. A picture is worth a thousand words, as they say. And in this particular video, in an eight-minute clip, the Pope was either overseeing or directly involved in at least four different occult rituals that we witnessed. Quite unbelievable, and again, not being shared through the mass media. But I believe if Christians saw this, it would change their perceptions of Pope John Paul II. He has taken a very strong stand against abortion, and that's great. But in a lot of other areas, he is taking a stand for things that run contrary to what most Christians would believe.
The thing that's so exciting to me, Gary, and the thing that is so exciting is Bible prophecy says all the religions will merge together. There'll be a world spiritual leader. All the nations will merge together. If we have the technology. It's all happening right now. So the important thing is not what's going to happen to the world. It's happening. The important thing is what's going to happen to you. The important thing is, if you come to have intimacy with God right now, right this moment, as we're watching through Jesus, through the fact that his blood was shed to wash away your sins and you can be restored to God, then it doesn't matter what happens. I say there's peace for you. Peace, deep, deep peace. Rivers of peace.